Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalms 100 and is found as reading 861 in the back of our hymnal. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Amen. This time I'd like to invite everyone to kneel for prayer. I'd like to invite those that feel a need to come forward to share in our family prayer. Father, we thank you for the ability to come before you this morning and to worship you and to think on you. And we ask this morning that you open our hearts and help us to learn more of who you are and what you are, and help us to become more like you. We think of those that are not with us this morning. There are those that are ill and traveling. We ask that you give a special blessing to them. We ask that you be with the family members of those that are sick or have loved ones that are not doing well. We know that you control all things. We ask that you strengthen us through the week as we go out into the rest of the world, and help us to remember the things that you're going to teach us here today, and help us to put those into practice in our minds and in our actions. In your name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Okay, now, what is the sermon going to be about today? Okay, I thought what I better do is maybe explain it just a little bit to you. And that is, the title of the sermon, according to the bulletin, is Living a True Religion. Now, that sounds like a little bit difficult, but there's a story which we will be involved in this, and that is the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, what is a Samaritan? What is a Samaritan? Do you know what a Samaritan is?
Yes, Batman.
I don't think I better quote that one. I think we can. If you remember correctly, in the story of the Samaritan was the good guy. And there were a couple other people that were not quite so good. But anyway, my question to you is, how can you be a Samaritan? Now, you notice here that I have a tugboat. Now, there's something about this tugboat which is different. Now, what's a tugboat do? Huh? What do you do with a tugboat? What's it do? Okay, it pulls the ship. What else does it do? You can ride on it. Hey, she's got a practical outlook. Okay, what else?
It pulls things.
Pulls things, that's right. It also pushes things, doesn't it? Okay, now I'll show you what's unique about this. Okay. Now, take a look inside. What is that? You know what it is? Do you ever see one of those?
It's a motor, I think.
Okay, it's a motor. What kind of motor?
Something to hold batteries.
Well, that holds batteries, that's right. Nobody's figured it out yet. No? Nobody knows? Okay. Stay in sleep? I don't think so. It'd be pretty hot. Okay, what this is, it's actually a steam-driven tugboat. It actually has a boiler in it, and that turns the propeller. Now, I've only got one of these. Now, which one of you want it? My grandchildren don't want it. That's a good sign. Okay, but I only got one. So, in the story of the Good Samaritan, what should I do? Okay, what?
Not give it to anyone.
Okay, not give it to anyone. What else?
Pick between a number.
Okay, we got some practical outlooks here. Okay, the point I'm trying to drive at here, if you have only one dolly, you girls, what should you do if you only have one? What?
Let your guests have it.
Okay, by the way, did she got it right? Let the guest have it. Okay? Do you do that? Yeah, okay. Anyway, the whole point is that we need to share it with somebody else, right? Okay, now, what is going on tomorrow night? What?
An obstacle course.
Okay, what else is going on? What's the obstacle course in? What is it?
Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School, that's right. So, how do we take and witness to somebody else in Vacation Bible School? Are you going to have some children there that you don't know?
Yeah.
Okay, what should you do?
Say, nice to meet you.
Okay, very good. Say, it's nice to meet you. You need to take and become involved with them. Say hello to them. Show them around. Show them where the bathrooms are and so forth. So you really become involved in doing what Jesus wants you to do, and that is to share yourself and your time with somebody else. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He helped somebody else. And listen in the sermon. See how many times I bring out love and helping.
Our scripture this morning is from Luke 10, 25 to 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. May the Lord add his blessing to the word.
The particular thing that I'm trying to bring up this particular time is living a true religion. Actually, those of you that have the Review and Herald, some of the information comes from the Review. But according to the Desire of Ages, as we look at living a true religion, on page 497, it says this, He, meaning Jesus, shows that it, true religion, consists not of systems, not of creeds, and not of rituals, but in the performance of loving deeds in bringing the greatest good to others in genuine goodness. You remember the discussion, it happens very early in the scriptures, it's very interesting, that in Genesis 4:9, you remember that Cain has buried Abel at this particular time. God comes into the garden and asks the question, Where is your brother? Cain comes back, Am I my brother's keeper? The Living Bible says it this way, and this is found in Genesis 4:9. The Living Bible puts the answer this way. How should I know? Cain retorted. Am I supposed to keep track of him wherever he goes? Do we? To the Jews, a brother or a neighbor was a fellow Jew. Of course, they excluded everyone else. Now let's go ahead and take a look at Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 27. And these were read to you, but I'm going to go back through them just a little bit more. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Very good question. And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest you it? And what he does, he quotes from Leviticus 19:18. And this is what he says. So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Was that the wrong answer? No. Jesus says it was the right answer. He did a good job. He gave the right answer. This man was very knowledgeable of the law. But the part he didn't understand was the spirit of the law. And that's where he ran into the problem. I've always wondered, why didn't the lawyer stop with Jesus' answer? Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we study your word, help us to apply it to our lives. May our lives change. May our outreach, our thinking of others change. May we be more like Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this example of the Good Samaritan, which also is an example of Jesus Christ. In his name I ask it. Amen. Who is my neighbor? Well, some of us have been passing out literature, and it was very interesting to me that I honestly didn't know who my neighbors were. Now, that sounds funny. I mean, they're just down the street. I could walk down and say hello to them every day. But as I was passing out the literature to each one of them, I found out a lot of things I didn't know. I had a ski instructor, which I didn't know that that's what he did. He actually does it for a living. I also found a couple people who were retired. I even found one lady, believe this or not, that sat on the same committee with me. And did I ever feel like an idiot when I went up and knocked on the door, and here she shows up, and I thought, oh, man, oh, man. And I never knew she lived on the same street that I did. And so in a way, it was a great experience. I know Marianne and Dick and a lot of other people have been doing the same thing. You learn a lot about your neighbors that you didn't know. In fact, I have a neighbor that also does dirt racing. I didn't know that either. So it's really been worth the time. But do we really know our neighbors? Now, let's go back to the lawyer a little bit. The lawyer, at this particular time, we have to remember that here the people are, they're here with Jesus, and here's the lawyer. And the lawyer, he stands up and he asks this particular question, good question. And Jesus asks him a question. He gets the lawyer comes up with the answer. But then he comes up with the question, who is my neighbor? The Jews spent a lot of time arguing that particular point. Now, when a person brings up these quibbling questions, that he obviously either knows the answer or he's got a pretty good idea what the answer is, it is usually evident that what's bothering him? His conscience. You ever had people do that to you? They ask you a question. So they're sort of trying to get themselves out of it. They want an answer, which is quite obvious if you really think about it. In the thinking of the lawyer and the Jewish leaders, heathen and Samaritans were excluded from the category of neighbors. Their problem was to determine which of the fellow Israelites that they should consider their neighbors. Now, should I consider the priest my neighbor? Should I consider other rich people my neighbor? What about the publican? Nah, I don't want the publican. Tax collectors, oh, I hate tax collectors. What about the money changers? Ah, they're an honest bunch. No, they were dishonest, so obviously they can't be my neighbor either. What about the person that doesn't have a good education? Doesn't have much education as I do. How shall I look at that person? Is that person really my neighbor? Well, let me ask you the question. Who is your neighbor? Think about it a little bit. Who is your neighbor? Do you know your neighbors? Who do you need to care for? Who do you need to watch over? And then if you have a neighborhood watch, who's watching over you and watching over your material? Our destiny is determined by the obedience to the whole law, according to Scripture. Now, what is the whole law? First, supreme love to God. And second, an impartial love to man. These are the principles that should live within our lives. Like us, the lawyer found himself a lawbreaker. He was convicted under Christ's searching words, searching eyes, that he was a sinner. The righteous of the law, which he claimed to understand, was not what he practiced. He did not manifest love toward his fellow man. Repentance was needed. In fact, more than needed, it was demanded. But instead of repenting, what did he do? What did he do, folks? Walked away, but he did so one other thing. He tried to excuse himself, didn't he? In fact, the next thing you find out that he did, he tried to justify himself, and he brings in the argument that, hey, this is too hard, too difficult, to fulfillment of what God has requested of us. Thus he hoped that he wouldn't have to worry about his conviction and to vindicate himself, not only to the people that were there, but to Jesus Christ himself. The old, age-old question, who is my neighbor, is found in verse 20, was answered 2,000 years ago. And yet people today still ask the same question. Who's my neighbor? Who should I watch out for? Who should I care about? The Samaritan story, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. So young people, if you have your Bibles there, most of you know the story pretty well. And we're going to start with verse 29, but I'm going to start with verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho. And by the way, it actually is down. It's about 2,000 feet, Jericho, below Jerusalem. And this man fell among thieves, who stripped him with his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Let's take a look at the characters now. Now you have to remember that two of these people were actually in the crowd at the time, according to Desire of Ages. Let's see how they do. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by to the other side. You can almost picture this, where he sort of looks, well, then he looks the other way and walks by. Ever done that to somebody on the street that you don't want to talk to? Likewise, the Levite. Well, the Levite, he's a little more curious here. The Levite then arrived at the place, came, looked, and passed by the other side. So he comes, and he looks, and he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to get involved with this. This looks too messy for me. Who comes by next? The Samaritan comes by next. And what does the Samaritan do? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. Felt sorry for him. had compassion. Would that man who was laying on the ground have compassion upon the Samaritan? No. There was great hatred between the two. The irony of it is they're brothers and sisters, actually, if you go back far enough. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. Did he just leave him at the inn? No, he didn't just leave him at the inn. He took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." Did he go the second mile? Yeah, he did. So Jesus asked the question to the lawyer, "So what? Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Well, you and I could answer the question. And what would we say? The Samaritan, right? What did the lawyer say? Did he say Samaritan? No, he didn't. He didn't say Samaritan. He says, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Even under these circumstances, the lawyer could not say the name Samaritan. Now we're going to take a look at the situation that we had here. Both men, we're talking about the priests, we're talking about the Levite. And what were they supposed to do here? Both men were a class of Jews, especially chosen to represent God to the people. Did they? No, they did not. They were to, one, deal gently with those who are ignorant, and two, also to go after them that were going astray. And this is found in Hebrews 5:2. That they, or we could say we, might lead men to an understanding of God's great love toward humanity. And this one, I think, is a very important one for each one of us as we sit here in the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church or any other church where you're from. Do we represent Christ in a positive, loving, caring way? When a stranger comes through our doors, do we say hello? Or are we too busy doing the work of the church? We are to preach the gospel to the poor. We are to heal the brokenhearted by showing love and concern, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them who are bruised. Should we do the same? Yes, we should. Shouldn't we have compassion? Yes, we should. Aren't we obligated to show God's love to others? Yes, we are. We're going to have an opportunity to do that tomorrow afternoon in Vacation Bible School. That's why I mentioned to the little ones, the young ones. Represent Christ in a very positive, loving, caring way. When the story ends, Jesus asks the question. This is found in Luke 10:36-37, New International Version. Listen to what is said here. "Which of the three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "That is he that had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Even the lawyer could not bring himself to say the Samaritan. So, fellow believers, if we are living a Christian life, what will we do? Will we perform the loving deeds which will bring the greatest good to others in genuine goodness? Genuine goodness comes from God. For God is what? Love. God is love. And so should we. When we take the name of Christian, we should demonstrate love to all those around us. The lesson is still needed today in the world today, as when it fell from the lips of Jesus. Selfishness and cold formality have almost extinguished the fire of love. Many who say that they are fellows of Christ and claim the name of Christian are not. They're not. We can go to the church every Sabbath. We can give our tithes and we can give our offerings. We can even teach Sabbath school. And perchance, we might even preach a sermon. And still, not be a Christian. True Christians will sacrifice their time, their talents, their means to relieve suffering, to help the lost person to find his way to Jesus Christ and to salvation. Are we willing to spend that time? Are we willing to go out and reclaim those who are lost, that have lost their way? Those who have been trodden down? Those that are sick? Those that are sad? In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gave a picture of himself and his mission. Man had been deceived, bruised, robbed, and ruined by Satan, and left to perish. But the Savior had compassion on our helpless condition. Notice I said our helpless condition. Jesus had compassion on each one of us. He left heaven. He came down to save us. He found us ready to die, and he healed our wounds. He covered us with his robe of righteousness. He opened to us the refuge of safety. He made complete provision for us at his own expense. Complete provision at his expense. He died to redeem us. Now he says to us, he did as he did 2,000 years ago. This is my command. Love each other, found in John 15:17. And in John 13:34, Jesus says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Jesus, when he sent out the 12 to witness for the lost sheep of Israel in Matthew 10, he reminded them in verse 8. You may want to turn to that. In verse 8 in Matthew 10. And he makes this statement, and he makes it to all of them as they're going out. And this is something we need to think of ourselves, folks, brothers and sisters. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The Revised Standard Version puts it this way. You received without pay, give without pay. Give without pay. The precious message of Christ's love and his soon coming is our responsibility to give. Our responsibility to give. In Desire of Ages on page 504, it makes the following statement. And see what you think. She says this. There are many who err and who feel their shame and their folly. They are hungry for words of encouragement. They are hungry for words of encouragement. Have you ever had times when you wish somebody would just encourage you a little bit? Have you been to the bottom or near the bottom where you needed that encouragement? They look upon their mistakes and their errors until they are driven almost to desperation. These souls are not to be neglected. If we are Christians, we will not pass by on the other side, keeping as far as possible from the very ones who most need our help. Do we pass on the other side because we don't want to get involved? I think we do at times, but we shouldn't do this. When we see human beings in distress, whether through affliction or through sin, we shall never say, "It does not concern me. Hey, it's not my problem. They got themselves into it. Let them get themselves out." Do you ever hear anybody say that? That's not to be a Christian. That is not a Christian attitude. Christians have the responsibility which is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians in 6:1. And this is what the Revised Standard Version says. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness." In the spirit of gentleness. I'll tell you a little bit of a story later on of a person who took just the opposite attitude and with the response that came from it. It's supposed to be a true story. Brothers and sisters, by faith and prayer, fight the power of Satan. You and I have an adversary. Time is drawing near the end. And that adversary wants every one of us in his camp and not in God's. Prayer. We need to pray for each other. But what good is prayer if we don't help? I'll pray for your brother, I'll pray for your sister, and leave them to fend for themselves. Is that Christians? Is that Christ? Love is action. Speak words of faith and encouragement to those who are bruised and who are wounded. There are many who have become faint and discouraged in the great struggle of life. One kind word, one cheerful statement may strengthen them so that they can overcome the evil one. One kind word, one word of encouragement, one action of love, one thought of caring may be what is needed so that they can overcome the evil one. Desire of Ages 505 makes this statement: "Never should we pass by one suffering soul without seeking to impart to him or her of the comfort wherein we have been comforted of God." We are to show our experience where God has done things for us, where he has helped us, where he has encouraged us. In fact, I had a person that knew I was giving the sermon and quoted me a scripture before I came up here, for which I'm very thankful. Just a thought, but nevertheless, the thought meant a lot. Thanks, by the way. Means a lot more than you think. Remember, love is action. If one says this, see what you think. If one says this, "I love God," and hates his brother, this is taken from Scripture, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. 1 John 4:20 and 21, Revised Standard Version. In Luke 10:27, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Ask yourself, do I really love my brother? Do I really love my sister? Look around in the church. These are your brothers and sisters. These are your fellow Christians. Do you really love them? Do you know who's not here today? Do you know where they are? Do you even care? I pray that you do. Ask yourself, do I really love my brother and my sister in the church family? Do I really care? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Remember, love is action. Love is not passive. Love is action. The Adventist Review, and that's one I told you about right from the beginning, and these are actually true statements that the author was bringing out. And the article is by Mark Kellinger, titled, Church Dropouts, Is There Any Hope? The following are a few statements and observations from this article. Think about these. People feel cut off from the rest of the body of Christ. One example he gave is a dedicated church member, legally blind, stopped coming to his church when promised weekly transportation. Guess what? They didn't show up. Legally blind, they didn't show up. Priorities. Let someone else do it, syndrome. Sometimes there isn't anybody else. Maybe you're the one. But don't assume somebody else is going to do it, because maybe no one else will. When the burden's put on your heart by the Lord and Savior, do it. Don't assume somebody else will. Tell me, brothers and sisters, no one cared enough to take time to help? Another case which was brought up. According to Paul Richardson of the North American Division's Coordinator for Connecting Ministries, for Reconnecting Ministries, he described an experience of a member who, when he was trying to return to his Seventh-day Adventist congregation, received a bracing welcome from a greeter in the lobby of the church. Listen to this. This is quoted. You're on the fast track to hell, the greeter said. What are you doing here? How would you like that for a greeting? What do you think the possibility is of him returning? I think I've thought about this statement quite a bit, and I say to myself, boy, I think I'd be really a little irate, to say the least. Fast track to hell, huh? Now, how is that for a friendly greeting? Now, I doubt if you ever came back. There are some, and I can relate to this one. Actually, it's going to be part of a story of my own. There are some who stop coming due to personal crisis and fail to find help in their congregations. They quit attending, hoping someone, now notice this, they quit attending, hoping that someone will call or knock on their door and give them some emotional support. When a person doesn't show up, do we check to see why they're not here? Are you, am I, the one that should knock on their door and encourage them? The answer is yes. We are the ones, not somebody else. The article went on to say this. After a period of time, 6 weeks to 3 months, they say, well, forget them, and emotionally cut ties and reinvest their time and energy in going somewhere else. What a tragedy. Each person that belongs to this church, or each person who comes into this church or comes in contact with you as a Christian, is important and need our love and our priority. Now, I can speak to this from a personal experience. This goes back to the time when I was 6 years old. My father drowned in a boating accident. up in the northern part of Michigan. My mother, and remember, this is during the Great Depression, and some of you are experiencing somewhat of what we went through, of the 1930s. My mother was left to herself with two boys. She spent her time for almost 2 weeks, maybe a little longer than 2 weeks, I don't remember. She did nothing. She just sat, cried, sat, cried. Did she get any phone calls from her church? Not one. Did she get anyone to come over to comfort her? Not one. No, no one stopped. No one came. Several years later, by this time, of course, I've gone into college and so forth, but I asked the question because my mother never went back to church. She would drop us off, but she never went back to church. Of course, I met Ardeth, became a Seventh-day Adventist, and so I was interested in, you know, how she looked at it. This is what she said. Why go to church? They did nothing for me when I needed them. They did nothing. So why go to church? A Christian thinks, talks, and acts with genuine goodness because he or she walks with Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the needs of the people, sinful as they were. Do we love the sinner and hate the sin? Do we act when we see a need? We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Caring love is action. Mark Finley wrote in this article, it's actually quoted in the article, he's as we all know, the vice president in the General Conference, and he's quoted as saying this, and I like the way he puts it, love does not wait for new members to return. It passionately pursues them. Passionately pursues them. Care must replace complacency. Friends, love is active. Among us are those who are lonely, many who are elderly, some are new to the faith, some have questions. Do you have the answers to their questions? Do we even care? We will be having meetings. Vacation Bible School, I heard that we have a lot of volunteers, and I'm really thankful for that because that shows the spirit of the church, and I think that's very, very positive. Thank you, folks. But we're going to have some evangelistic meetings this fall in September. Are you going to be there? Well, you say, well, I really got trouble with time and so forth. But let me let's look at it this way. And I hadn't thought of this, but it came to my attention. Somebody else actually came up with it. And that is that each one of you can contact a different person because of your personality, because of what you can say, because of your background, because of your job. Notice which ones I'm bringing. All of these things all play into it. Because of your home life, because of your children, whatever it happens to be, you can't say somebody else should be doing it. You and I have to be there to be that friend to those people who come. You do. There is no way around it. Youth, working with youth, can't beat it. Educated, uneducated, doesn't make any difference. Our backgrounds, the things we have in common with each other, all of these bring us together. When somebody has an interest in airplanes like I do, do you think we click together? We can talk airplanes for a long time. Some of you like cooking, like vegan cooking. This came up in a meeting which I had just recently. Do you know one of the most important things that they found to help people? That was cooking. I about flipped out. I said, boy, we're here. Come, folks, come. We have our vegan cooking class. Opportunities. But only you can be the one who can contact that one person. Don't assume somebody else, because they may not click. Do we all do the same thing? Do we all love the same way? Do we all say the same things? Do we all have the same background? No. But we're all Christians, and therefore we should care. Don't assume somebody else. Pastor Bentley needs your support. Norman needs your support. I need your support. I need your prayers. They need your prayers. Somebody else can't do it. When we're here at church, we look around and see who's here. And I'll tell you one thing, folks, that when some of you are not here, our hearts sink. Because we want you here, because we love, because we care. When your children are not here, when they're adult children and they're not here, that hurts. We hurt for you because we care. I hope that all of us will be Christians who care, doesn't worry about the question, who is my neighbor, and is a person who performs the loving deeds to bring the greatest good to others in genuine goodness, living a true Christ-centered religion. May each one of you be true to your calling as a Christian and as a child of God. Amen. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the story of the Good Samaritan. May we never ask the question, who is my neighbor? For our neighbors are the world. Every soul that you died for is our neighbor, our friend, and the one we should love and care for. We're thankful for the responsibility, but also it weighs heavily upon us, for we do not want to fail you in any way. In Jesus' name, we pray that we will follow in his footsteps. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.